violencia. Han salido estudios ahora que dictan de que un 83% de todas estas personas que sean deportadas corren el alto peligro de ser asesinados el momento que regresan a su país de origen.
El llamado también fue para quienes aspiran a llegar a la presidencia de Estados Unidos.
A la secretaria Hillary Clinton, ella tiene el poder de parar estas deportaciones. Lo estamos diciendo a la secretaria Clinton. Si quiere ser nuestra presidenta, distíngase claramente de los republicanos y del señor Trump. Apoye a nuestra comunidad.
Según cifras oficiales, el 3,5% de la población en Estados Unidos está integrada por personas en situación migratoria irregular.
Aunque el Departamento de Seguridad Nacional todavía no ha aprobado este plan de deportaciones, de ser aprobado afectaría a miles de familias como las que hoy están aquí. Bianca Pérez, Telesur, Washington.
Las y los pobladores de Gaza recuerdan con tristeza los momentos de la arremetida israelí contra el pueblo palestino. Esto solo a un día de que culmine el año 2015. Nur Harsin tiene los detalles.
Las personas en Oriente y Occidente están esperando con ansias la llegada del año nuevo. Pero los gazatíes están atormentados por los sentimientos encontrados de tristeza y dolor, ya que recuerdan claramente el olor a sangre y muerte de sus seres queridos en el séptimo aniversario de la ofensiva israelí contra el enclave costero en 2008. El 27 de diciembre de 2008, cerca de 80 aviones de guerra israelíes atacaron docenas de sedes gubernamentales y de seguridad controladas por Hamas en la franja de Gaza. En los ataques asesinaron a 200 palestinos en pocos minutos. Estos ataques mortales e indiscriminados fueron denominados por Israel como la Operación Plomo Fundido.
La ofensiva israelí contra Gaza en el 2008 fue terrible. Los sectores de la agricultura, comercio e industrias que se encontraban en la franja fueron afectados y el enclave costero quedó expuesto a este loco bombardeo. Los explosivos que fueron arrojados por los aviones de guerra sobre la franja de Gaza durante esa operación fueron 3 veces la misma cantidad utilizada en la Segunda Guerra Mundial. Sufrimos cortes eléctricos y falta en el suministro de agua. Las enfermedades se propagaron rápidamente y las personas no podían comprar ni siquiera un trozo de pan.
Los milicianos de la resistencia en Gaza respondieron a los ataques y bombardearon con misiles a miles de casas ubicadas al sur de Israel. La respuesta palestina despertó temor y miedo entre los israelíes. El octavo día de la Operación Israel dio inicio a una invasión por tierra contra la franja. Arrojaron toneladas de explosivos, incluyendo armas internacionalmente prohibidas, tales como fósforo blanco, en áreas densamente pobladas. Luego de 23 días, las fuerzas israelíes habían asesinado a más de 1.435 palestinos y otros 5.000 resultaron heridos. Años después, en 2012 y 2014, Israel lanzó nuevos ataques mortales contra la franja de Gaza, deteriorando aún más la situación crítica en la que se encuentra el enclave. Nur Harsin, Telesur TV, Gaza.
El presidente de Venezuela, Nicolás Maduro, entregó el 30 de diciembre la vivienda número 1 millón, marcando con ello la continuidad de un programa de espacios habitacionales para el pueblo, promovido por el presidente comandante Hugo Chávez Frías. Giovanni Noguet amplía la información.
El día de hoy se está diciendo que 2015 se convierte en un año en el que se puede implantar un récord en la entrega de viviendas por parte del Poder Popular para la Vivienda y el Hábitat aquí en Venezuela. Primero que todo, les propongo que repasemos estas cifras porque ya se está hablando al día de hoy de la construcción de 322.000 nuevas viviendas que se han entregado tan solo durante este año. Repasamos esos datos y estaremos echando un vistazo directo a lo que han sido estas 5 leyes que se han aprobado durante el día de hoy por el presidente de la República.
El programa social La Gran Misión Vivienda Venezuela, creado por el líder de la Revolución Bolivariana Hugo Chávez Frías, construyó cerca de 146.718 viviendas solo en su primer año, cifra que aumentó a 200.084 casas para el 2013, mientras que en el 2014 se ejecutaron otras 126.525 viviendas. El proyecto, que hoy en día es parte de las políticas de Estado, ha entregado además alrededor de 123.818 títulos de tierra a familias de bajos recursos. A pesar de la caída del precio del petróleo, el gobierno bolivariano cumplió con la meta establecida al hacer entrega de la vivienda 1 millón. En la actualidad, Venezuela es el país latinoamericano que más construye unidades habitacionales para el pueblo a través de la Gran Misión Vivienda.
Y así es toda una fiesta la que está viviendo el pueblo venezolano cuando concluye este año 2015. Tienen un gran motivo motivo de celebración. 1 millón de viviendas que están resolviendo el problema habitacional de 1 millón de familias. Es una alegría que se comparte y que ha transmitido en cadena nacional el presidente de la República Bolivariana de Venezuela, Nicolás Maduro. También en esta ocasión anunció la firma de 5 nuevas leyes habilitantes. Una de ellas es una reforma a la ley contra la corrupción. También se ha estado hablando de una ley de contratación pública, también la reforma de una ley que pueda proteger a la policía del país, también a la Fuerza Nacional Bolivariana. Son 5 leyes en lo fundamental y la última de ellas es la de seguridad de la nación, que es una ley que está junto al Sistema Popular de Protección para la Paz del país. Lo ha dicho en muchas oportunidades el presidente Nicolás Maduro, la paz es lo más importante para poder llevar adelante todo el proyecto de vida que ha estado llevando adelante esta revolución, este proyecto desde hace 17 años. Lo inició Hugo Rafael Chávez Frías, quien llevó adelante este programa, esta gran misión Vivienda Venezuela, que ha sido
seguida. A continuación, la primera parte de un reporte especial preparado por Rocío Franco sobre sucesos históricos ocurridos en América Latina en 2015.
Van a continuar buscando las vías para dar mejor calidad de vida al pueblo venezolano.
Numerosos temas sobre América Latina acapararon la atención de la comunidad internacional en 2015, incluidas situaciones de países como Argentina, México, Cuba, Venezuela y los que integran el Triángulo Norte de Centroamérica. En un resumen anual de lo ocurrido en el año, hemos agrupado esas cuestiones en 6 ámbitos que forman parte del trabajo de Naciones Unidas. Estos son economía y desarrollo, paz y seguridad, derechos humanos, migración, desastres naturales y relaciones diplomáticas. En materia de diplomacia, uno de los temas más destacados del año fue el restablecimiento de las relaciones entre Cuba y Estados Unidos. Los presidentes de ambos países, Raúl Castro y Barack Obama, se vieron cara a cara en el recinto de la ONU durante la cumbre de jefes de Estado que se celebró en septiembre. Se trató del segundo encuentro tras el anuncio de la normalización de las conversaciones bilaterales. En su discurso ante el plenario de la Asamblea General, el presidente de Estados Unidos, Barack Obama, se refirió a la situación con Cuba.
Durante 50 años, Estados Unidos siguió una política hacia Cuba que no logró mejorar la vida del pueblo cubano. Hemos cambiado eso. Seguimos teniendo diferencias con el gobierno cubano, pero estas las abordaremos a través de relaciones diplomáticas, con un mayor comercio y con vínculos entre nuestros pueblos. Confío en que a medida que estos contactos progresen, nuestro Congreso inevitablemente levantará el embargo, un embargo que no tiene cabida, afirmó Obama ante el aplauso de los asistentes.
Por su parte, el presidente cubano Raúl Castro afirmó que el establecimiento de las relaciones diplomáticas entre su país y Estados Unidos es un importante avance que ha concitado el más amplio apoyo de la comunidad internacional. En su primera intervención en un debate de la Asamblea General como líder de la isla caribeña, manifestó que no obstante esos avances, persiste el bloqueo que causa cuantiosos daños y privaciones al pueblo cubano.
Pese a todo, Cuba cumplió los objetivos de desarrollo del milenio y brindó su cooperación a otros países en desarrollo en varios sectores, lo que continuaremos haciendo en la medida de nuestras modestas posibilidades. No renunciaremos jamás a la dignidad, la solidaridad humana y a la justicia social, que son convicciones profundas de nuestra sociedad socialista.
Posteriormente en el año, la delegación cubana continuó presionando por el levantamiento del embargo mediante la presentación de una resolución ante la Asamblea General. En una votación récord, la comunidad internacional abogó por la eliminación del bloqueo que Estados Unidos mantiene desde hace más de 50 años contra Cuba. El texto fue aprobado el 27 de octubre por 191 votos a favor y los únicos votos en contra de Israel y Estados Unidos, convirtiendo a la causa en un reclamo prácticamente universal. Otro gran avance para la región ha sido Colombia y el acelerado avance de las conversaciones de paz en La Habana, Cuba, que augura el alcance de un acuerdo previsto para marzo de 2016. 50 años de conflicto armado, más de 260.000 personas muertas y 6 millones de desplazados podrían pronto escribir su capítulo final, dijo el coordinador residente y humanitario de Naciones Unidas en Colombia, Fabricio Hushil, en una entrevista con Radio ONU durante su visita a la sede en Nueva York.
Ese conflicto, que es uno de los más antiguos del mundo, que es el último conflicto grande en Latinoamérica, se va a resolver dentro de un periodo más temprano que tarde, y eso sería un logro histórico, no solamente para Colombia, sino para el continente.
Rocío Franco, Naciones Unidas, Nueva York.
El resto de este segmento será transmitido en los próximos dos días, acompañado de reportes especiales sobre el 211 aniversario de la independencia de Haití, el 56 cumpleaños de la Revolución Cubana y la conmemoración número 21 del levantamiento zapatista en México.
Estás escuchando el informativo Pacífica.
Te invitamos a que te unas a nuestras redes sociales por Twitter en info-pacífica o por Facebook bajo el nombre de nuestro productor Fernando Velázquez e Informativo Pacífica. Escucha el noticiero cada día de lunes a viernes en Pueblos Sin Fronteras wordpress.com.
Aquí concluye esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Agradecemos la colaboración de todas las personas que hicieron posible este programa, el mismo que es producido gracias a las donaciones de las y los radioyentes. A nombre de Toshke y de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
My name is Brad Johnson. I'm a former Clear Channel radio engineer, and when I'm in Santa Cruz, I listen to Freak Radio Santa Cruz.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 101.3 FM, it's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, pre-recorded, but still fresh and new and minty. Hopefully, you can. We're going to have a special edition where we're going to play the lion's share, if not the entire, Freedom Land from the San Francisco Mime Troupe, as well as a critique of what's going on at the Mime Troupe, written in the Anderson Valley Advertiser called Something's Amuck at the San Francisco Mime Troupe. We'll also cram in a few local interviews, and here we go. It's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, the end-of-the-year edition, December 31st, 2015.
Tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs, they simply make me laugh. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic, I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking, why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance, all other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you. Sing me of wars and sing me of red lines, tell me of front page news. Sing me of strikes and last minute headlines, pass your observation in single patience. Sing me a song with social significance, there's nothing else that will do. It must get hot with what is what, or I won't love you. Song that's satirical, putting the mirror into miracle. It must be packed with social fact, or I won't love you. Sing me of kings and conferences martial, tell me of mills and mines. Sing me of courts that aren't impartial, what's to be done with them, tell me in rhythm. Sing me a song with
that will do. It must be tense with common sense, or I won't love you.
And welcome to another edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. I'm Robert Norris. No call-in number for this show, but there is sort of a call-out, shout-out number. If you want to give your reactions to the show, give some thoughts, maybe contribute something to the next show, the number to call, or also if you want to help out with civil rights action for poor people, write something that you've seen, describe an incident that caught your attention on the streets, expose a local injustice. The number to call is 831-423-4833, and my focus is on injustice against poor folks downtown and around the town, particularly folks outside. In this cold weather, it's particularly nasty. And as Christmas wanes and we see it in the rearview mirror getting further and further away, the pseudo-compassionate spirit of Christmas is getting replaced by the manufactured neo-fascist sense in Santa Cruz that homeless people have it easy, homeless people are a bunch of bums, they're transients, that we have a welcoming environment for homeless people, all these nasty and toxic venomous myths that are spreading around the town, spread by groups who are more concerned with their establishing what is in fact a de facto gated community than even looking at reality straight on, as far as I'm concerned. I want to see us stand up against this and restore rights for poor people outside, restore power for poor people throughout this community. And that's a really tall order, and it requires people forming coalitions that I have no idea how we proceed to do that. I tend to work on simply publicizing abuses and the kind of the legal sharp end of the stick that is being poked at poor people, whether it's in terms of exorbitant rents or absurd laws that criminalize basic human functions like sleeping or sitting or resting or being in a park after dark. And yes, it is a basic human function to try to find some kind of sanctuary at night where you can rest your head. And a park is a perfect place to do it, certainly better than on someone's private property where you are likely to get run away, or on a hard, cold sidewalk where, after the Freedom Sleepers protests of the last 6 months, it is actually now legal to sleep on the stretch of sidewalk in front of City Hall. No, let me correct me. It's not legal to sleep there. It's still illegal to sleep on any sidewalk, on any public property, anywhere in Santa Cruz at all. There are no sanctuaries. The shelters themselves are full, and even if there's some small spaces open, the amount of space available compared to the number of people who are outside is completely disproportionate. So you have really less than 100, 200 spaces out in for people can sleep on the floor at different places, whether it's the Winter Armory shelter or some of these pathway to housing programs which require social service provider contact and waiting list stuff that many people don't have either the interest or the, I don't want to say the skills, but It has nothing to do with seeking immediate shelter, and it has also nothing to do, really, with finding any permanent housing. That's the mythology that's being used to coax money out of the government, but it isn't really, I think, happening in a meaningful way, except perhaps for veterans, where there's been actually an infusion of cash, and I don't have a lot of information about that. It's New Year's Eve coming up, and I'm going to be down probably checking out the DIY, do-it-yourself New Year's Parade, which has been happening every year since 2005, December 31st on that year, when the planning was infiltrated by police agents, led by then, I think he was a lieutenant or a vice chief or a deputy chief, Kevin Vogel. He's now chief of police in Santa Cruz in order to keep an eye on the criminal element. Of course, organizing a peaceful parade is not criminal behavior, although it is mayor after mayor has insisted that people get permits, and every year people say, no, we don't need a permit, just like the huge drunken, not parade, but gathering of folks that happens hours later. It'll be happening on New Year's Eve tonight. It gets no permit. It doesn't seek a permit. It just people just show up. And that is a much larger do-it-yourself event. This particular smaller event, which happens, starts at, people gather around 4:30 and it takes off at 5 o'clock, starts in front of the Sub Rosa. By the time this broadcast is happening, it'll have already either, it'll certainly have started and it may have well finished by that time. It's been getting smaller and smaller each year, and it was threatened with tickets by the police, particularly by, I think, Deputy Chief Clark. And one time, I don't know whether it was Cynthia Matthews or Lynn Robinson, one of the former mayors, Matthews is now the current mayor, of course, were threatening to shut it down. Might have been Rotkin. And it has refused to be shut down. I'll be probably talking about this parade on the Sunday show. That'll be Sunday, the 3rd of January. I'm going to be playing a large chunk, as I mentioned before, of the Mime Troupe production Freedomland, because, frankly, I simply don't have time at this particular point to do the extensive preparation that's required to do the put all the interviews and music together, even in the clumsy, often inaudible way, or inaudible perhaps is a little too harsh. You can usually hear what's happening on the show, though that isn't always the case with these homemade shows, and this is a homemade show. I'm hoping I can do more for the Sunday show. And also, I'm likely to be taking a hiatus or playing a lot of old shows, particularly starting in mid-January, when I'm going to be kind of out of commission for a while, gone from the air. But I expect everybody out there to keep their eyes on the street and see what's cooking out there and pass on the word, join together in solidarity, overthrow the city council and all the other phony organs of government, and establish peace and justice in Santa Cruz. Justice first, after which will come peace. I acknowledge that's highly unlikely, but good luck, everybody. So, the San Francisco Mime Troupe is something I usually enjoy when it comes to town at the end of the summer. It goes all around the Bay Area providing free performances. It comes to Santa Cruz. I'm also a critic of the Mime Troupe because I found that it depends. On some years, they've been willing to entertain some kind of awareness of local peace and justice issues. I mean, nothing annoys me more than having a lot of people broadcasting about injustice 3,000 miles away or 1,000 miles away and ignoring it a block away. I mean, to me, that's the height of liberal hypocrisy, where the political action just becomes a form of theater and entertainment. Of course, that's what the Mime Troupe is. It is theater and entertainment. But originally, they were a very active group in the Bay Area concerned with combating injustice, is my sense of it. And admittedly, they travel around a lot. They've become commercialized. And indeed, according to some writers, one of the original members of the Mime Troupe, R.G. Davis, things have radically changed at the Mime Troupe. I'm going to read this article, Something's Amuck at the San Francisco Mime Troupe, that I originally got out of the alternative newspaper, the Anderson Valley Advertiser. I think you may also be able to find it online. And it's a critique of the Mime Troupe that I haven't read anywhere else. And as a critic of local liberal politicians like Don Lane, Micah Posner, groups like SCORE and the ACLU and the NAACP and SCRAM, the one-time Santa Cruz resistance against militarism that briefly fought the Bearcat and hasn't done anything since it arrived, I'm interested in seeing what the critique here is of the mime troupe, particularly by people who are originally part of the mime troupe. And here's what, I'll read. On August 10th, two theater people on the board of directors of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, Joel Schlechter and I, resigned. That's R.G. Davis writing the article. Prior to that, four others, longtime board members, also resigned in April of 2015. Is this some sort of indication that things are spiraling down, or are they spiraling up? A nonprofit theatrical, a political theater enclave has trouble holding on to its knowledgeable theater folks, even some of its previous members. Could this be a reflection of the final years of the Obama era? And he writes some more about this issue, but then he goes into a statement that he made to the San Francisco Mime Troupe Board of Directors in August 10th, 2015. Whereas this organization is now producing shows that denigrate the left, shows composed by a supposed black progressive that result in a rejection of any alternative to the Democratic Party, it's time to out the cat in the bag. When I heard the title of the new play was Freedom Land, I knew it was invented by M.G. Sullivan, but didn't know till we heard a reading and saw a run-through that the point was to exaggerate the left, thereby dismiss it, and then ridicule it with old TV sitcom characters while posing as topical and political. Joan Holden had invented the selection of hot topics, quote-unquote. She would find a current issue and then parlay it into a melodramatic format. She insisted on melodrama. Sullivan now patches together melodrama with music and punkish humor. The change from Holden to Sullivan now evidences a liberal decline. The first iteration was liberal parodies of the ruling class with a shot of hope to counter liberal angst. Now comes Sullivan's central function to take a hot topic and twist it off course by focusing on either an irrelevancy like potholes or already exhausted efforts. The play's function is to dismember any radical intent or action, like including the Occupy movement in For the Greater Good, a production the Mime Troupe did in 2012, and stating that what it needed was a charismatic leader. This certainly detracts from any essential discussion of that movement, which, by the way, in 2013 was wiped out by Homeland Security in 2 weeks under the black president, the one who received the Nobel Peace Prize. More recently, the Obama administration has droned dead many around the world and prosecuted six whistleblowers more than any other president. He recently jailed a black whistleblower to illustrate his fairness. The historic trajectory of the mime troupe, from the 60s radical critique of racism in the society with the minstrel show of civil rights in a Cracker Barrel, the name of one of the shows in the 60s, has moved from challenging entire societal conditions to stopping at simple liberal faults, or simply saying blacks are essential rather than focusing on the conditions of the culture of capitalism and class socioeconomic racism. The minstrel show is the opposite of what we have seen in the last 2 years with Sullivan's use of black fake revolutionary figures who are opportunists. Imagine an opportunist who knows the character well and then plays a fake panther who exaggerates the rhetoric of the Panthers, ignoring what the Panthers actually did besides call for revolution, like stopping drug pushers in the Fillmore, their Oakland breakfast program, and policing the police. Ridiculing the left leaves only the Democratic Party as the best instrument of social progress, the bipartisan instrument of social regression. Since this April, the exodus of four older members of the Mime Troupe board, who had some sense of history, theater, and other interests, more that than fundraising, has been followed by selection of those who have donated $1,000 to the board at a luncheon as the best candidates for the board. Now that a Stanford University fundraiser and his cohort, an Apple corporate executive, run the new board with the support of the Sullivan family, the conservative faction in power considers anything less than cheerleading slander. It is symptomatic that such a financial standard should be the determining factor for board membership. The collective itself is a bogus entity actually run by the author of the summer play, that is Sullivan, so that the plays and the board are now united in producing the kind of commercial entries favored by NEA grants. The trick here is to present plays as if you were progressive while bashing the left and distracting the liberals. The empire is at home here. The organization has sufficiently consolidated its control to eliminate any voice of history or theater or radical critical voice. May the contradictions fester. After 10 years on the board, it is time for me to resign. And then a second letter of resignation by Joel Schlechter,
I'm submitting the letter of resignation to end my term. For the past few years while on the board, I've tried to serve the MIME troupe as an advisor. I never saw myself as a fundraiser, and I was not appointed for that purpose. But given my experience as a professional and academic theater, as a dramaturge, theater historian, and play director, I thought I could offer some useful advice on the MIME troupe, or to the MIME troupe, on play selection, season planning, and playwriting. The advice has included a talk to collective members on the history of the Living Newspaper and the Federal Theater, a proposal and outline for a play about Edward Snowden, a list of existing modern political plays by Brecht, Foe, etc. that might be staged by the MIME troupe, a call for new playwrights to join with the collective and not simply be taken from the existing collective membership, a call for new board members who could offer artistic and political advice, suggestions for improvement of plays in progress. While I never expected the collective to take all of my suggestions, it has taken almost none of them, and that includes suggestions made at the first reading of the current season's play. I am not resigning simply because I am disappointed in the quality of the play written for the MIME troupe this year, but I have to say that the quality of the new plays written for the past 4 or 5 years has disappointed me, to the extent that I no longer want to support the work of a company that does this kind of play. While some of the collective's members are talented as actors, designers, and technicians, the group suffers by not having new playwrights capable of providing texts and ideas that take the MIME troupe forward into the 21st century. The collective needs to become more up-to-date artistically and in its political concerns. For the past 2 years, summer plays have been dominated by recollections of Black Panther and Black radical life in the 1960s. I have to agree with R.G. Davis that given all the major political and social upheavals going on in the world, the focus on politics of the 60s merges on nostalgia and avoidance of other issues, current issues. While I think issues related to black lives and police brutality in America are important, there are more creative and compelling ways to present them than through a parody of Black Panther rhetoric, which has been a major part of plays for 2 seasons. And these are statements by 2 board members who resigned from the board of the San Francisco MIME Troupe, R.G. Davis and Joel Schlechter. Other board members who resigned included Becky O'Malley, Marie Gladstone, Joan Holden, and Peter somebody, whose name I can't read here. Becky O'Malley is the editor of the Berkeley Daily Planet, which is always a little too conservative for me, but has an interesting perspective on Berkeley, and it's a place you can also read the satirical Pepper Spray Times, which Carol Denny, a regular commentator on my show, posts her monthly, always funny and always pertinent, satirical 4-page publication, which I recommend you check out. That's at the Berkeley Daily Planet. Becky O'Malley is also the mother of Chris Crone's wife. If you know Chris Crone, former mayor, he was the mayor who had me arrested for making a mock Nazi salute at city council way back in 2002 when the mayor cut short a anti-war speaker, Susan Zeman, improperly, in my view, and in violation of the spirit of the Brown Act, the law that requires public participation and protects those at meetings. In any case, having said all these criticisms of the MIME troupe, having read all these criticisms, I actually found myself enjoying the production. I recorded it because you can't get these productions anywhere else. The MIME troupe doesn't make records that they sell anymore or recordings that they sell. They sell old recordings of a few of the songs from a few of their old productions. And I think they actually, in their vaults, they have all 50 of their old shows, but they've not released them. I don't know, because of jurisdictional conflicts or copyright problems. I don't know what it is, but I think that's really sad, and because I love a lot of their songs from their older productions. And my criticism of the MIME troupe usually has to do with their particular behavior as a sort of an established lefty group with lefty connections with the lefties in town who are not usually that concerned with local issues around homeless civil rights. And that to me has always seemed to me a profound insensitivity at best. and hypocritical and opportunistic surrender to the lure of power at worst, or more likely, actually. So when they, I've actually put out critical flyers around the mime troupe about a decade or two ago, calling them mime troupe or mum troupe, when they wouldn't allow us to, I think they tried to stop us from flyering at their production. They held it on a, in a sort of a closed, I don't know if it was closed. I think you could get in at the a university, but they changed. That was at the time when we had a another kind of freedom sleeper-like group lasting for a much longer time and staying overnight outside City Hall every night to protest the city's anti-homeless 11 p.m. sleeping ban. And we wanted to include something and have them say something about that in their production, and they weakened it to the point of, I don't know what you'd say, to the point of invisibility almost. And so we, you know, we criticized that because people were going to jail, people were being brutalized by the police, and of course homeless people throughout the city were facing sleep deprivation, torture, cruel and unusual punishment, as the federal government now acknowledges in Boise, Idaho. And it's also happening in Santa Cruz, California. Yes, our hometown. Anyway, I liked the production this year in some respects, although it did seem to me to this focus on the 60s and the Black Panthers, and also the ridiculing of the Black Panthers, and the, sort of the misrepresentation to them as, you know, full of revolutionary rhetoric, which they were, but that's more, the revolutionary rhetoric was backed up by, as R.G. Davis says, they were the police, they provided neighborhood breakfasts, they were concerned about all kinds of conditions in the ghetto that other groups weren't. They did the things the liberals were afraid to do. They weren't going to be beholden to Democratic Party hacks and power brokers in the community, as I think many organizations in Santa Cruz are. So let's hear some of the mime troupe. I hope this is audible. I'm still having pretty primitive recording equipment, and if anybody wants to advise me as to how to improve what I'm doing, which I'm taking directly off a speaker, so it's degraded sound, but hopefully still audible, please give me a call at 423-4833. There's rumors afoot that we have a studio space nearly determined and nailed down, but I again encourage people to get in touch with the Free Radio at freakradio.org. That's one word, Freak Radio, small letters, freakradio.org. And if you are able to give us information that leads us to a studio, those $500 is still waiting for you. That's our reward that we've been dangling over folks' noses unsuccessfully for the last 3 or 4 months. Or you can give me a call at 423-4833. That's the Huff Line, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And I will pass on the information to the collective. You can also, of course, join the collective and do some shows, though until we get a studio, you have to do them at home and post them distantly, which we can show you how to do. The dues are small. I think the connection with the community is real, and I encourage you to consider joining Free Radio. Again, 423-4833 and freakradio.org. And now let's listen to the mime troupe from, it's either late August or early September of this year. Freedom Land is the name of their show. And you'll occasionally hear me interrupting with a few comments, but I generally, because I'm in the audience, and I'm trying to record it, and B, I don't want to disturb people around me, I'm generally pretty quiet, so... For those of you who couldn't make it to Freedom Land, this is Freedom Land. Understandably, you can contrast the criticisms you just heard in that article, Something's Amuck at the San Francisco Mime Troupe by R.G. Davis, with your own perception. See what you think.
So I am here at the Mime Troupe, and it's a very hot, fairly hot day. I would say it's in the 90s, high 80s at least. Mime Troupe is about to begin. And to the left of the stage, we have the orchestra under a tent. To the right, their sales booth with posters and shirts and such. And in the middle, of course, is the stage, a setup of a couch, different house fronts, a bookcase. And there's also a large sign, cost of regular show of free park show. Teaching fees, $884. Per diem, $635. Porta potties, $3,800. Set material, $3,500. Travel and parking, looks like $3,224. Prop materials, $507. Artistic salaries, $80,709. Utilities, I think it's $510, but it could be more. Costume materials, $1,906. Car fuel, $1,401. Payroll taxes, $1,403. Workers' comp, it looks like $1,007. Repair and maintenance, $970. Telephone, $556. Sound supplies,
$1,000. These are the expenses of the mime troupe.
Union expenses, $23,000. Heat, health insurance, $4,500. Artistic fees, $17,036. Production fee, $90. Publicity fee, $3,700. Tech salaries, $19,758. Food and beverage, $1,674. Publicity booking and fee, publicity fees, $3,700. Booking and marketing, $6,285. Food and beverages, $1,674. Theater and lights rental, $50. That's cheap. Permit fee, $7,100. I don't know if they had to get a permit for this. Intern stipend, $755. Administrative salaries, $12,231. Printing, $5,796. Photography, $1,216. Advertising, $6,358. And there's additional fees at the bottom that I can't really read. And the total is marked out, but I'm going to estimate. So it adds up to at least $200,000. You can hear the production going on.
Saturday says no.
I'll get it.
And it's a SWAT team going after a black guy.
Maywood, apartment 12, 1355 Washington Street.
And now it's time.
Oh, those were the days!
one vision. We were putting our lives on the line for the people. Oh, me and him almost changed the world. There I was, there I was. I stuck my neck out for the cause. Me and Bobby, think it's true. Me and him, we're on the news. That's why program underway. Our people stay for day by day. There I was, there I was.
Mr. Haywood?
Right.
Mr. Haywood?
That's the young man who wants to play Fear Uncle. It's a story tape. Who's there? It's Fear Uncle.
Am I interrupting?
Ah! Don't speak up like that. You could scare a person.
Sorry.
Officer, this is my neighbor, Mr. Showman, from upstairs.
Upstairs? Say, do you know anything about
Fear Uncle? I know all about this wonderful game.
No, we got a report of an illegal alien of a Unit 4.
Unit 4 people, the great vehicle. This is Mr. Too Busy on Tuesday, that's the one in. Perhaps you'd like to join us?
No, thank you.
No, Mr. Safety, it's vehicle. You love it. I'll get the card.
No! No, thank you. Mr. Haywood, I just came back to apologize for the door. I'm sure the department will reimburse you for it.
You must be new.
Just graduated from the academy. My first week on the street.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks. I look forward to protecting and serving you. Sorry for the inconvenience.
Pinochle! It works every time. Makes us sound like a couple of old men.
We are a couple of old men.
But you could have said poker. Poker! Now that's a man's game. That's what we used to play back in the Panthers. Oh, I remember one time, me, Huey, and Eldridge. Back room and open. Huey had just dealt me 3 aces. There I was, hopeless down in Oakland Town. Eldridge,
Mr. Haywood!
Ah, again with a scattering bus. You work in a haunted house.
Sorry. We're just leaving now, and I wanted to give you my card in case you wanted to contact us. I just got them. See? Officer Emily Milligan. There's my number and my email, so feel free to contact me. And remember, the police are always here for you.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. See, now we didn't have to put up with all this mess back in the day. No. Big came with brothers home back then. They were fitting to be dealt some revolutionary justice. There I was, badass me, that badass bus, full-time cut, no hope in sight. Ain't going down without a fight. Bullets flying through the dark, I took my name upon my mind.
Ironically, as this
what?
Production
you
goes
don't
on,
to go anymore.
First a police squad cars oh, drive by on the access path, and then a ranger vehicle.
What the hell are you doing here? What happened to welcome home from the army? Glad to see my grandson. Hey, Chewie!
Ain't gotta go
for it. Look at you, all grown up. You're not my little Natalianito anymore. I'm glad to have you back, Mico.
Good to be back.
The kid, Nate, all we got was pictures and letters. Why didn't you come visit?
Because he had things to do.
I was worried about you. But it sounds like things are winding down.
Afghanistan? Yeah. Any of us left? Most ship home.
So, where are they stationing you next?
Right there.
Not a hot spot around the world. Need boots on the ground, huh? Yemen. Oh, they're sending you to Yemen.
Right there.
Pakistan. Oh, we're so
glad.
Sudan.
I'm out.
What you mean?
I did my time. 2 tours. I'm done.
Done?
Now, you're acting like you wish he wasn't here.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's just that Ukraine. You know, if you sign up, run away.
I would have thought an ex-Black Panther like you would have wanted his grandson fighting for the man anyway.
I don't want him into fighting, but he shouldn't be here either.
Why not?
Because.
Okay.
Because. Here. Being in the army is all part of your plan.
What's he talking about?
I'm talking about the plan.
Granddaddy has this idea.
It's not an idea. It's the plan.
Okay.
Nate,
something.
The only way to overthrow the imperialist police state of America is for us to first master the weapons and strategies of our fascist overlords. And the only way to do that is for some of us to join and infiltrate the military. Huh? Then to bring back what I learned to the community and have trained our revolutionary army.
Well, sounds like someone's been reading too much France Fanon. I'll just go back to my room, make sure they didn't mess with my chat. Nathaniel, welcome back, Nico. Malcolm, sort of relax away.
Relax! Relax! Oh, I'm relaxed, all right! When the revolution is over, the Nate, you have got to get back to the army!
I can't.
But, you'll be just like the spook who sat by the door.
I can't go back.
What about the plan?
Granddaddy, did my parents know about the plan?
Of course they did. It was their idea.
I don't remember them.
Well, I do. And right before the pigs took down my daughter and her husband, they made me promise that if anything happened to them, I would carry out the plan.
But
I can't go back on that promise.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to check in with Daddy Marcus and the boys and let them know I'm back on the block. Good to see you, Pop Pop.
Daddy! Oh, there he goes. There he goes. Down that street, and who knows? Six good years of planning place. Soldier, get back to the base.
You're listening to a somewhat crappy recording of the 2015 Mime Troupe production Freedom Land from the audience. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris, and my show airs twice weekly, Thursday evenings 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings 9:30 to 1 or sometimes later. Generally, I play a lot of interviews from the street. I may do some of that today, but I'm going to continue to play segments, in fact, work my way through the entire Freedom Land show. In a way, I kind of regard this as, however rough-hewn and perhaps even partially inaudible, it's important to have documentation of the Mime Troupe. And they refuse to provide it for themselves, so I'm providing it for you, although, as you can hear, some parts are going to be difficult to hear. I hope you bear with me. And let's hear some more from the San Francisco Mime Troupe, which again is being criticized by some of the original actors and supporters, such as R.G. Davis, as having fatally strayed from the original radical impulse that created them back in the late 50s and early 60s.
Oh, it's good to see you too.
Moving the set now, changing the set. Pulling up a table against the backdrop, these two sweat wristbands.
No. You, listen to me. This police department has been getting weapons from the military for 20 years. How am I supposed to stop people from taking drugs without a helicopter? What do you mean the policy changed? Hey, Parker! Franklin County just got an army helicopter last month, and they have half the drug arrests we do.
Have you seen the lady told?
No, we do not need body camera. Listen. Helicopter.
I am down to 37%.
Yes, we have an armored car, but can it fly?
No! We got to do something!
Do you know what they call a flying armored car? A helicopter! Police! Politicians! Ooh, always getting in the way of government.
What?
Not you, Mr. Mayor. But Washington suddenly wants to demilitarize local police forces. How are we supposed to fight the war on drugs without the weapons of war? Two more years. After that, every new president starts term of promising the police whatever we want.
Well, that may be so, but I don't think you and I are going to be around long enough to see it.
Why not?
The latest poll indicates that the citizens of the state are open to the legalization of marijuana.
Let me see that. Legislature may vote to decriminalize pot. Oh, my God. Without pot, what am I going to arrest all these black folks for?
And without black felons, what am I going to scare the white voters with?
First gay marriage, and now this?
And it's not just votes, it's money, Parker. Ever since the factories closed down and the tax base dried up, 60% of our town's revenue, and 100% of your police budget comes from the bails and fines that we get from arresting black people.
Mr. Mayor, calm down. Try to relax.
Oh, but I can't calm down. I'm a black mayor elected by white people. I'll never relax.
All we have to do is keep the lights out of town, afraid of the dark side, and we'll be fine.
But if the black folks aren't in jail, then they can vote against me.
We'll deal with them the same way we always have. Pick them up. Talk them into taking a felony plea bargain. After that, they're felons and can't ever vote.
But what are we going to charge them with now?
Crack.
Oh, no. 280s.
Oh. Heroin.
No. 2 sheep.
Oh. Meth. No. That's how we keep poor white folks from voting.
Well, we better think of something. Otherwise, I'll be out of a job.
And I may never get my helicopter.
Chief Parker, sir.
What is it?
This just came in.
Placing into the future, trust and obey is what's written in the back of the folks
who are drug enforcement agency to all local and state police departments. We have reports of a new dangerous narcotic entering our country from across the southern border. Very little is known about this new threat to America except its name. Sargassadoramanacanafan. Sargassadoramanacanafan.
On the street, they call it Snore.
You are hereby instructed to prosecute all users and traffickers of this drug to the fullest extent of the law. Snore. Oh, that sounds terrible.
You seen what that stuff does to kids?
No.
It's not pretty.
Oh! If we don't do something about this drug, it'll be in every home, every backpack, every school lunchbox in America.
Officer, did the feds say anything about the demographic of these snoreheads?
Apparently, communities of color will be hardest hit.
Yes! I mean, no! We have got to do something for these poor, poor people.
We'll stop it, sir.
You bet we will. Even if we have to drive our armored car through every house, down a Jackson Circle to do it.
And we will have to get the word out to all the white folks.
The folks. I'll be in Edgerton and Crescent. You know, posters, newspapers, maybe even a television spot. Maybe we'll even need a helicopter.
And you're sure it's a felony?
Manufacture, possession, distribution.
Thank you, officer.
And thank you, DEA.
We can always rely on drug enforcement to give us a reason to arrest people.
But What if the folks down in Jackson Circle don't have any, snores?
Well, what would you do if somebody kicked in your door to get something that didn't exist?
I tell them to get the hell out.
Interfering with an officer in the execution of his duty is also a felony. I don't think you have to worry about black voters for a while.
Snore! Sounds like something somebody just made up.
It does, doesn't it?
Y tú, Manuel, eres todos los hombres hermosos.
Oh, Graciela.
Oh, Manuel, te quiero.
Then what about her husband?
He's soap opera,
marido.
He's a narco and he doesn't play.
Solo se casó conmigo por dinero.
It's all about the money.
Pero no puedo dejarlo.
Just leave him.
¿Por qué no?
Sí, ¿por qué no?
Porque tengo un terrible secreto.
¿A secret?
Un secreto a nadie más que mi familia debe saber.
You can tell Manuel he loves you.
No puedo.
Just tell him, mujer.
El terrible secreto que ha perseguido a mi familia por generaciones. Mi tatarabuelo.
You can't find me anywhere.
No era un monje.
I went to tennis. I went to the park.
No murió en paz en su cama.
Nobody's seen him.
Porque en realidad era...
God, I just hope he isn't.
Un werewolf.
A werewolf?
Sí.
Well, that explains why her son is so scary. Hey, you weep. I don't have cable. Nate is out there somewhere.
He'll be okay.
You know how it is. Ain't no way a black man can be okay.
It could be worse.
Huh? He could be a werewolf. Nate! Where have you been?
I went down to see Marcus, but he wasn't there. His folks wouldn't tell me where he was, just to say how glad they were to see me. Glad I was okay. But weren't saying nothing about their own son.
You got to get back into the army.
6 years, and it's like I don't know anybody anymore. All my boys are gone. Teddy, Marcus, Dwayne.
You are going to be just like Geronimo Pratt. Yeah, trained by the army and fight against the man.
I told you before, Papa.
Yeah, but hear me out here. No, it's the plan.
No.
It's your parents' plan.
I'm not coming back. You know what my job was over there, Papa? Scaring people. That's it. It wasn't about learning weapons, tactics, strategies. One time, we came upon some kids playing soccer with a balled up sweater, and I thought, hey, I'm gonna give these kids a real soccer ball. So I come back the next day with the ball, and there they were, so happy, smiling so big. But when I went to throw the ball to them, my weapon slipped off my shoulder and I had to grab it. And all those faces turned to terror. Just like that. All those kids looking at me with my hand on my gun. Looking at me stiff,
like you were some kind of monster.
And they really thought that I was going to shoot them, that I could.
You wouldn't do that.
On the day I signed, I was not so blind as kids you see. All young and green and filled with dreams of glory. America, the beautiful, John Wayne and apple pie. I will do my best just not to die. Control, take control of a dusty town. I didn't need to be a hero, but I never thought I'd be a
A monster going house to house, door to door, never saw what for a monster. A monster moving in quick to flush them out. Pull your trigger when in doubt. A monster. A monster. That life is all about the plan. Infiltrate the army, then turn it on the men. But I'm too tired to try and turn this whole world upside down. I just want a little house on the quiet side of town, and a job to go to every day. Safe place for kids to play. Guess what I'm trying to say. I ain't going back.
That's deep.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't scare the kids off of soccer.
The weed! It's not to have much else. This is a crisis.
Now, all this is a crisis. No jobs. Everything is run down and falling apart with no money to fix it. The ground is poisoned and the weather's going crazy because we broke the sky. Those kids have a crisis every time they wake up. I have a crisis every time I sit by my door. I gotta wonder, are they gonna pick me up and toss me across the border? Never see my home again. So forgive me if I want those kids to have a little soccer, or I spend a little time each day watching a novella, watching someone else's drama so I can forget mine.
Werewolves, huh?
A whole family of them. Her husband knows that she just told her boyfriend.
A boyfriend and a husband!
And a hairy son!
You think it's still off?
Freeze.
Frozen!
Where is it?
Where is what?
Snort!
What?
Snort!
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 I have no idea what you're talking about.
According to our database, you, Malcolm Washington, have been selling snort near an elementary school.
Hey, what? Malcolm Washington is
right. Shut up, you filthy snort dealer! Have you seen what that stuff does to kids?
Down! I told you our intel is wrong! Now get out of here!
Not likely.
Well, keep your nose clean!
Why is everybody so interested in how dirty my nose is?
Mr. Haywood, I am so sorry. Mr. Schulman?
An accident. It happens. As long as nobody gets hurt, nobody gets hurt. Now I must go back to my room and prepare for the Sabbath. Unless maybe you'd like to stay a while for some pinochle.
I've got to go.
Every time.
Hey, Papa.
What?
Papa.
What?
Have you seen my Jay-Z t-shirt?
Jay who?
Z.
Who?
Z.
What kind of last name is Z?
Oh, never mind. What was all that noise?
Me and you weed people, we were watching one of his soap operas. You know, those things can get pretty rowdy.
Huh.
Nate!
I know what you're going to say, Papa.
No,
you...
no. You're not going back to the army. Now, I understand. And my daughter wouldn't want you feeling like a monster going into people's homes and terrorizing folks.
Good.
How about the Navy? Please! Don't you people check with each other? Malcolm Washington!
Hey, boy!
Whatever, you have the right to remain silent.
What the hell do you want?
Oh, come here.
They came to bust in here.
Well, that'll be news to them.
I've been out fighting for this country, for cowards like this.
Calm down.
Hell no. Power to the people and death.
Okay, you have behind your back.
No, please. He just got home. He was in the army.
Shut up.
Sir.
What?
The database.
1355 Washington Street?
Yeah. I told you.
Well, you just keep your nose clean, Haywood. Come on, boy.
What? Brandy!
But it's the wrong address. Where are you taking him?
Obstructing justice. Come on.
Brandy! Brandy!
He'll just tell you the same thing he tells everyone else.
What's that?
Just cop a clean.
What?
Obstructing justice, that's a felony in this state. You're looking at 5 years at least. Unless.
Unless what?
Unless you plead guilty. A couple of months up at county, then you're free as a bird.
A bird on parole. A bird who can't vote. A bird who can't get a job.
Birds don't have jobs.
It's a metaphor.
What do we have here, officer?
You bastards ain't got nothing on me.
Name's Washington.
No, it ain't.
Now, Mr. Washington, before you
get... It's Haywood.
Sarge? Sergeant Nathaniel Haywood.
Yeah?
MLA Militant.
Militant.
4 Base Bravo, 4th Brigade, Kabul.
The Cobra.
Put his sheep, let me back. What wrong moves to change their last?
Well, murder goes to never see.
And kill so that you cannot be.
Bravo Militants, what are you doing here?
This is my hometown, remember?
That's right, I'm just in Cressy.
And you're Jackson Circle.
You never said you wanted to be a cop.
You never said you wanted to be a criminal.
I'm not a criminal.
Right. There's obviously been a mistake. Why is this man here?
Interfering with an officer in the execution of his duty.
They kicked in my granddaddy's door.
Malcolm Washington.
Haywood!
On Washington Street?
That's the one.
This is all just a database mistake.
There's nothing in the database about a database mistake.
Look, I've spoken to Mr. Haywood.
You know my granddaddy?
Well, I've been to his place a few times.
Even if this is a misunderstanding, that does not excuse him.
From defending his home and a bunch of men kicking the door? What would you do if the police tried to drag your innocent grandfather away?
That would never happen.
And we all know why. Corporal Militant, I'm proud of how you stood up for me.
And I'm ashamed of you for breaking the law.
But you just said
no
that...
No excuse for standing in between an officer and his duty. Without respect for law, you have anarchy.
Anarchy? Was he pig? Police officers busting into our apartment.
We need law and order.
That wasn't law!
It was order! You gotta start somewhere, Sarge. Like in Afghanistan. When things are falling apart, you gotta give people something to stand on so they can rebuild their lives. You remember what it was like when we first got to Kabul?
Oh, Lord, control the streets. Children lost without a thing to eat. Chaos, anarchy, desperation in the eyes of everyone we meet. So we clamped down hard. No.
didn't work in Afghanistan, and it won't work here.
If we had more cops on the
streets... Look around here, don't need more cops. They need jobs.
These people...
Oh, you mean like me. I'm one of these people.
No, not you, Sarge.
The only difference between me and them is that you know me.
Nate!
Come
me. Oh, well, there you are. These people have been giving me the runaround. He's over here. He's over there. I'll pay to fail and get out of here.
Sergeant Hayward.
Come on, Militant. You got nothing for me.
No, I'd like to talk
Come
to you.
Come on, Pop Pop.
Yes. I need to talk to the chief. No. I have an idea.
This is the set chamber again. The police station is taken away. Something into the future, present today, and we have again the apartment. The couch, a bookcase, a couple of pictures on the wall. Hot weather for them to be doing this on.
Finding out half my friends are in prison or dead.
Don't that by the time you start your revolution, there won't be nobody left to fight on your side.
You fight your revolution and I'll fight mine. And what are you doing in here?
They shut off my water. I paid my bill in cash, but now there's some glitch in the matrix and they want me to come downtown. No way. The man will snatch me up like a hawk. So no water.
Oh, I suppose it's the man's fault that you are wearing my bathrobe.
No, I just really like the color. And it's so soft.
Nancy, that is why we need a revolution.
So you wish could have a bathrobe?
Oh, so everybody can have enough to take care of themselves. From each according to his ability.
To each according to his need.
Right. And that is why we need the plan!
You
want to make a difference, right? You want to save your friends? But the only way things are going to change is with a revolution! Power to the people! And death to the pity!
Who was it?
Mr. Haywood.
Militant.
Mr. Haywood.
Don't open the door.
Nate, I'm so glad you're here. I have a surprise for you.
Good afternoon. Please, put your hands down.
Chief Parker.
You must be Mr. Haywood. For the last time, the name is...
Oh, that's right.
And this must be Sergeant Nathaniel Haywood. I've heard a lot about you.
From who?
The FBI.
From me.
Officer Militant, who tells me you two served together.
Afghanistan.
I salute your service. And now that you are home, do you have a plan?
I was thinking
about... There is no plan. There is no plan whatsoever. I'm glad to hear that. Please, have a seat. I was wondering if you might let me join us down at the police station as our newest recruit. You are just what we need to fill out the force.
The force is full of vets. You fit right in.
And you're from the community.
The community?
Officer Militant, you tell me that's what we need. Community policing. Especially now with Snorf ravaging the neighborhood. Have you seen what that stuff does to kids? That is why the community needs brave young men like you.
Stand up for law and order.
Law and order? He'll talk to me about law and order now. My granddaddy
wants to do everything he can to help the police.
What are you talking about?
Talking, that's right. We're going to be talking about it.
Great.
Wonderful. You talk it over, they come down to the station. We look forward to working with you, Nate. Can I call you Nate?
Oh, you certainly can.
Goodbye, Mr. Haywood. Nate, see you soon.
We gotta pack your bags.
Where am I going?
Anywhere but here. He's got the eye on you now, and they ain't gonna take it off till you are in prison or a grave.
I'm not going back to the Army.
Airport?
No.
Coast Guard?
No.
The Mounties?
That's Canadian.
Canada? It's the new plan.
Granddad, couldn't I just get a job?
Stop! What? How did you get in here?
Houdini. Big Brother's all over the building. Get this. Papa wants me to join the Mounties.
Damn, Holmes, you know Mounties are just Canadian pigs with funny hats, right?
Hell, he's got to get away from here.
Why?
So he'll be safe.
Safe?
You know, safe to lead the revolution.
Safe?
Don't get back in there. Learn their tactics.
Wait a minute. Is that what this has been about?
What?
The Army, the Navy, the Mounties? All just to keep me safe?
No. You see, when I was in the parent,
and that's another thing. How old are you?
What?
How old?
I'm 60.
No, 1968. Cops, you didn't have the cops. You were 14.
No, 13.
My birthday is in December.
All right, then.
Damn.
Wait. So this means
it means.
Papa.
No, see, the thing is.
What?
No, the thing is. And I was never exactly in
the Panthers.
But what about all your stories? You and Huey?
There you were.
I saw him at a rally once.
What do you mean you were never in the Panthers?
Yeah, I can explain.
Explain all these years you've been telling me.
No. See, the thing is, I...
You were lying?
I had to keep you safe.
Safe from what?
Safe from them! From all of them! This whole country! It is just a gun pointed at young black men. I couldn't let him get hurt.
I was in the Army.
It is safer for a black man to be fighting overseas than it is to be here at home on these streets with these cops.
And the plan.
Only plan I ever had was to keep you alive.
Next they're going to tell me my folks didn't die in a shootout with the cops.
Well,
oh, hell no!
That was a car accident. They were out of diapers and they drove to the store.
So my whole life is a lie.
Hey, look on the bright side. At least now you don't have the pressure of leading the revolution.
I did what I had to do.
Talking about you got to save me.
Yeah.
You ain't saved me. You ain't saved nobody. You ain't done nothing. You're just a crazy old man who lied to himself about a plan who ain't never got a damn thing.
Oh, there you go. Talking like you think you know. You call it smoke, you call it lying. Up till now, it's worked just fine. I've seen a million ways a brother can go down. Only plan that ever was will keep you above the ground.
Alive!
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 Very, very scary. buried.
It may take seconds.
It may cost hundreds of millions of dollars.
It may even take a helicopter.
But if everyone out there does their part, we will win.
How was that?
That was beautiful, people.
I'm sorry, I dropped my line about what Snorf does to kids.
That's okay, we'll fix it in post.
Chief Parker, why do I have to dress up like a little black girl?
Oh, no, no, a little ethnically ambiguous girl.
Why can't we just tell people how bad Snorf is? I mean, they're not stupid.
It doesn't work that way, officer. You tell someone something is bad, they're likely to run over and use it.
Oh, I know I would.
But you make them afraid, and you can tell them which way to run. You control them, and that's the only way to save them. And you do want to save people, don't you, officer?
Of course I do.
Then you have to be willing to scare them.
Can I get out of this schoolgirl costume now?
What? I think you look rather fetching in it.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
Sarge!
They said you were done.
What are you doing here?
I was thinking about what you said about law and order. And I came down to say, where do I sign up?
Good man.
Oh, I am Mayor Henderson. Oh, it's going to be great to have another niche. Neighborhood man on the board. Welcome!
Right this way. We'll start the paperwork.
Sarge, I gotta say, you seemed kinda against the idea before.
I was.
Why'd you change your mind?
My granddaddy. He said he wanted me somewhere safe. I just want a little house on the quiet side of town. And a job to go to every day. A safe place for kids to play. I guess what I'm trying to say. I can't wait to see the look on that old live face.
At the police academy. As I look out at you, I see a group of good, decent people ready to help your community. Well, you may be law-abiding citizens now, but in just 4 weeks, you will all be transformed into police officers. Each one of you will be forced into a deadly, glittering weapon of good, poised to strike at those who bring crime and chaos to our streets. But before we begin your training, get you a few words from the star of our previous class, Officer Emily Millicent.
Police officers' code of ethics. As a law enforcement officer, my fundamental duty is to serve mankind, to safeguard lives and property, to protect the innocent against deception, the weak against oppression or intimidation, and the peaceful against violence or disorder, and to respect the constitutional rights of all men to liberty, equality, and justice.
Bam, 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 bam! Hey! Bad boy, bad boy! What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Huh? Huh? Martin Lawrence, Will Smith, bad boy! 1995, huh? So, what you packing?
What?
Heat!
They bring a knife, you bring a gun.
Untouchable, 1985. I have got a Glock 35, AR-15, birthday present, and this right here. 44 Magnum.
Blow your head clean off.
Dirty Harry.
Nice.
I would have sex with this gun if I could.
Simmer down, rookies. Let's start with the role of the police officer. Question one. What is the only thing that stands between the civilized and the savages?
Yes.
The big blue line.
That's right. The police. Protecting citizens against the sickness on the street.
So this town has a cancer, and that cancer is crime.
RoboCop, 1985.
Yes. But they're not a disease. They're people, citizens, people.
In the third millennium, the world changed. The laws collapsed. And out of the chaos rose a new order. They were police, jury, and executioner all in one.
Judge Dredd, 1995.
Heywood, there are only two sides when it comes to crime. Us and them. Cops and criminals. We are us, they are them.
And them is everyone who isn't us.
So everyone who isn't a cop is a criminal?
Of course not. They're potential criminals. That's all for today.
I will maintain courageous calm in the face of danger, scorn, or ridicule, develop self-restraint, and be constantly mindful of the welfare of others. Honest in thought and deed in both my personal and official life, I will be exemplary in obeying the laws of the land and the regulations of my department.
You were in the army?
Yep.
Bam! You have gone from the front lines to the front lines! So, did you join right after 9/11?
I was 10 years old.
Take that, Osama! Bam, 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 bam! They wouldn't let me in. I failed some test or something. So, tell me, how many cowheads did you smoke?
What?
Come on. You can tell me, killer.
Killer.
Today, we will talk about brotherhood. Our brotherhood in blue. When you're on the street, what is the one thing you can depend on?
Yes. The law.
A rocket launcher? Your fellow officer. You have to watch your brother officers back on the streets and in the station. They are the only real shield you have.
But what if an officer does something wrong? Shouldn't we report it?
Of course you should. No one is above the law. But you gotta think. When you're out there, bad guy around every corner, are you gonna rely on some law or your brother officer that you just reported? Bad guys don't have rules. All these laws that protect the criminals...
The laws are crazy!
Dirty Harry.
But the laws are there to protect the innocent.
Nobody is innocent.
But
I am the law! Just read.
Steve Parker.
Dismiss.
Steve Parker.
I will never act officiously or permit personal feelings or prejudices to influence my decision. I will enforce the law courteously and appropriately without fear or favor, malice or ill will. Never employ unnecessary force or violence.
Target practice! So, what do you think? Center of mass or headshot? Huh? I mean, yeah, a center is easier, but headshots, they go down. Bam! Like zombies. You gotta hit them right between the eyes.
And in case you didn't know, you are tuned to Free Radio 101.3 FM, freakradio.org, a pre-recorded show. We call this show Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm Bathrobes Pierre Robert, and I bring this to you twice a week. This is the Mime Troupe you're listening to, a rather cheesy recording from last summer. I'm going to be playing the rest of it now, or at least much of the rest of it. And hopefully we'll be talking more about recent police violence in the United States in the last couple of weeks, as well as the failure of the Santa Cruz Department to reform itself, to be open to Public Records Act requests, and to respond in a fair way to concerns about how it treats its poorer citizens in Santa Cruz. That's going to have to wait until the Sunday show at 9:30, because this is a... in a way, kind of a rush show I'm putting out because I'm intending to check out the DIY parade, which should even, well, probably be over by the time you hear this, as I mentioned before earlier in the show. But it is New Year's Eve, so enjoy yourselves, everyone, and I'll get back to you on Sunday. And here's some more from the San Francisco Mime Troupe's production of Freedom Land.
Can anyone tell me a situation in which an officer is justified in drawing his weapon?
Yes. When a suspect is pointing a weapon at an officer?
Yes. when a suspect is about to point a weapon at an officer.
When a suspect is threatening a victim or a hostage with a weapon.
When a suspect is considering threatening a victim or hostage with a weapon.
How can you know what a suspect is considering doing?
When a suspect is about to harm a victim, hostage, the officer, or themselves.
Themselves.
Suicide is a felony in this state.
Oh, they start with suicide, and after that, who knows what they'll do.
Even if a suspect doesn't have a weapon, is it a threat? Or is it even a suspect? They should still be considered dangerous if they fall within certain guidelines.
But you can't tell if someone's dangerous just by how they look.
You can if you want to stay alive. Body language. How they're talking. How baggy their pants are. There are 1,000 clues that tell an officer they must use deadly force. Notebooks down. On your feet. Weapons at the ready. Okay. It's dark. You're on the street. Everything is black. There's nothing but black all around you. It's like the darkest jungle. You can hear the monkeys in the trees listening to their music. You are surrounded by a deadly, dark blackness that is just waiting to strike you down. Suddenly, you hear a sound. Hey, what's the problem?
That target looks like Teddy.
Who?
A guy I grew up with.
No, you don't want to use that target. I understand. After all, you're from the community. Let's try again, okay?
Yeah.
Weapons at the ready. Okay. It's dark. You're in an alley. You and your brother officer are surrounded by a hellishly dark blackness. You hear a sound. You turn. Blackness. A man in the ebony shadows, holding a gun. Behind your partner.
It's a kid.
So? So you left your partner to be killed.
You let me down, bro. But it might be a toy gun.
Or it might be real. You do not have time to think about that.
Why do all the targets have to be black?
They were on sale. But if that bothers you, we'll try again, okay? Weapons at the ready. It's dark.
And why does it always have to be dark?
You're right. Good point. Okay. Weapons at the ready. Okay. It's evening. Just getting dark. You're in a net of almost blackness. Suddenly, you hear shouting and chanting. The sound of boots on the street. You smell tear gas, burning cars. Brother officers are begging for backup on the radio. You run to help. You trip. You get up. You run around a corner and see. Damn! Heywood!
All she has is a protest sign.
You see a sign, I see a stick. A big stick.
But we can't sue people for protesting.
It's because
I am... Would you shut up?
But die hard.
Sir, I think I need to take a break.
Okay, Heywood, take 10. We'll try again.
Thank you, sir.
But what about me? It's dark. You're in a dark building surrounded by blackness. There's dark, black, glass darkness around every corner. You come to a door. It's dark. Who knows what's behind it? You take a deep breath. You kick it in.
I recognize the badge of my office as a symbol of public faith, and I accept it as a public trust to be held as long as I am true to the ethics of the police service. I will constantly strive to achieve these objectives and ideals, dedicating myself to my chosen profession, law enforcement.
Good job. Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to your police force.
Back to the apartment.
power for 1 month.
They shut off my gas. It's freezing. Besides, I didn't know you were coming back today.
You weak, honey?
Obviously.
Is everything all right?
Yes.
No.
Everything is fine. Now come, Mrs. Gladys. She has a table at the farmer's market.
Melons.
What?
I have melons.
This is Malcolm.
Oh, Eureka told me so much about you. Thank you so much for letting him use your apartment while his place is being redecorated.
Redecorated? I got some new posters.
Oh, Eureka told me about your trip. Visiting your daughter's grave.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Oh, Gladys, did you get back to the market?
You're right. I should get back before someone tries to grab my cassava.
Ooh, which reminds me.
Don't forget this. Sexless
chips. Thanks, sweetie. It was nice to meet you, Malcolm.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, in his own apartment.
I have to sleep on those sheets. Those are my sheets. Yours are clean and folded in the closet.
Good.
So you might want to get a new pillow.
Well, you can Houdini your way up into some fancy hotel room somewhere.
Hey, I gotta save my magic for when I really need it. Yeah. Hey, how was your trip?
Same as every year. Bus ride. Cab ride. Cemetery. Oh, and only this year I didn't know what to say.
You could have told them he's safe.
Is he? All this time pretending like I was making some plan for revolution to save him.
Maybe you have the right plan all along. Just didn't know it.
What you mean?
Maybe the only way to save one black man is to save all of them.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Save everyone's grandson, Malcolm. You'll save your own.
What is it with you people?
Malcolm, Washington Haywood.
Head down. Go to the next unit. Mr. Haywood,
you're just in time for some...
Hey, now, go! Mr. Haywood! Let's correct the database once and for all. Where's your ID?
Oh, it's in my suitcase.
Oh, God. Oh, hello, young man. This man, isn't it? You see my little fence? I know what will carve you down a nice game of pinochle. I said pinochle. If you stick around, you can play some pinochle. Oh, maybe I'll have to learn canasta. Oh, well, gotta go back to my room. Good night, young man.
Good night, Yui.
What?
Nothing, sir.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
Mate?
Well, Granddad,
in the bedroom, what are you doing here?
Some order came to take down some snore floors. How's Papa doing?
Fine, don't see you dressed like a stormtrooper should kill him.
I just wanted a job, some security.
You just wanted to get back at him. So he lied to you, so what? When I first came to this town, I had nothing. He lied to get me the place upstairs, lied to get me a job at the sofa factory, hid me from La Migra. So he lied to you, but he lied for me. He's a good man, mate. In a country as insane as this one, maybe lying is the only way to take care of people. Officer Militis, I was just telling this fine young man about pinochle.
Yui Gutierrez.
No, it's Schulman.
Undocumented immigrant. 30 years in the United States? You lied to me.
No.
And to think, I considered playing pinochle with you.
He didn't do anything wrong.
For all you know, this could be the snort lord that we're looking for.
I'm not selling a snort.
Oh, and why should I believe you? Hands behind your back.
Louise,
Mr. Haywood, if that is your name, I'd advise you to keep your mouth shut. From what I've heard, you're guilty of harboring a fugitive.
Me? What have you done?
Granddaddy, I was...
It wasn't his fault, Papa.
Come on, Mr. Harris. Down to the station. You! Keep your nose clean.
Granddaddy, it's...
Hey, Haywood, come on. I want you behind the wheel. Can you hear me now? Yes, Chief Parker, that's better. Luis Gutierrez, male Hispanic. Apparently he's been living here for quite some time. I ordered the squad to comb the neighborhood while we brought him in. Me and Cadet Haywood, we're bringing Gutierrez to the station now. We should be there in a few minutes. He did a fine job, sir. A little more training, a little more discipline, and I think he'll be a good addition to the force. Great. Thank you very much, sir. If there's one thing I like, it is military precision. That way nothing gets past you. Hey, sir, I need to call you back. No, everything is fine. I just have to run. Hey, come back here.
Are you sure about this?
Hell no. Luis, I'm so sorry, man.
It's not your fault, Mico. In the end, even Houdini got caught. Besides, if the cops only arrested criminals, what would they do with their free time? Don't worry about me, man. This is not the first time I had to start over. Did I ever tell you I was a dog groomer in San Diego for a while?
Really?
Big blueberries in Michigan, sold vacuums in Toledo.
Luis. I'm gonna miss you, man.
I'll miss you too, Mico. I'll miss your granddad. I'll miss this place.
So, where are you gonna go?
Where? I don't know. I don't know. I suppose there's always some place to go. A fresh start, a new day. Years of this beautiful hard luck town. That's a pretty good run when they're trying to hunt you down. As for me, I know there's no place somewhere. But what about you? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do before?
I don't know. I don't know. You might just have a sidekick when you hit the road. A fresh start, a new day, it ain't here anyway. Nothing left in this crazy hard luck town. Or you fall behind, just try to hold the ground. You try your best, you do your best, but that ain't good enough, I guess. Start it all again. Wonder where it ends. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
What? You don't answer the door anymore?
Me!
Pop, pop.
What you doing here?
I came back to let you know. I let you eat go.
He's here? Where is he?
Hey, Daddy had to move on, turn up someplace new.
Oh, what about you? Oh, please, you go tell him that he escaped.
I ain't gonna tell them nothing. I'm taking off, too.
You're leaving?
Papa, you're right. There ain't nothing here for me.
You're going back to the army?
Nah.
Where?
There's gotta be someplace where a black man can be safe.
In America?
What are we supposed to do?
Well, first thing first. I am sorry I lied to you.
Papa, it's okay. Country like this, maybe lying is the only way to take care of people. What's the second thing?
Revolution!
Oh, God, not the plan.
No, it's only different. Before, it wasn't real. I was just using the word. But now I know. Only way anybody's going to be safe is if everything changes for everybody.
You're here.
So, what you going to do?
Paperwork. Petitions, leaflets, make sure these people know their rights. Yes, make sure that these police and politicians remember that they work for us.
Good luck.
And if they don't get it, take it up a notch.
No peace without justice, and no justice without God. That cat's getting rich off of us being poor, then take the police on us when we complain or protest. Nah, bring some jobs in here.
Yeah, and you ain't talking no minimum wage McDonald's jobs.
And all this mess is. Till then, we boycott their crap. And if that don't work,
then the gloves come off. What? He's here. Here's a life or death fight.
And we can't be the only ones not fight.
Right.
By any means necessary. Free!
Oh, hell no!
Hands on your head! Left out the table, you are under arrest!
Get out of my house!
That's an accessory to the snowstorm! You ain't here!
He ain't done nothing!
We have with him! You saw him on the
ground!
Get out!
Get out!
Don't get at my grandfather!
Hands on your head!
Don't you fuck me up!
God!
The tragic death of Mr. Malcolm Hayward and Mr. Nathaniel Hayward at 1555 Washington Street were. The police officers on the scene performed their duties, followed all the protocols, did what they were supposed to. I know my fellow officers reported seeing a weapon. I didn't see one. Perhaps I missed it. I'm sure they wouldn't have fired without cause. We would never do that. Police protect and serve. We bring order.
How can you live?
with a lie like that. With a lie like that.
Freedom Land, a San Francisco Mime Troupe production from this summer, which probably can't find anywhere else. I enjoyed the songs. I enjoyed the spectacle. I actually didn't find myself aware of, other than its lack of local significance. In fact, I talked to some of the actors afterward and said, it would be great if before you went to a particular city, you had somebody substitute in the names of the local police department officers for these generic names that you have in the production. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norse. This is called Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. And if you want to comment on the show, or you have any questions, the number to call is 423-4833. It is pre-recorded, but I will respond to your call. And if you want to be on the show, if you have information or news for the show, normally I spend a lot of time playing interviews from the street, and I'll be doing that again on Sunday, I suspect. The Freedom Sleepers did Freedom Sleepout number 25 last Tuesday, day before yesterday. It was another successful sleepout. There were no arrests. There were no citations. There were about 19 or 20 people involved. A smaller number actually slept on the sidewalk and in the adjoining areas at the library, across from the library at the Greek Orthodox Church and then at the Civic Auditorium. Weather was bitter cold, and it continues to stay cold. It's not clear whether warming centers are going to be opening tonight and tomorrow night. I've heard uncertain answers from Brent Adams, who has been working on a warming project, but he puts a lot of energy into advertising for volunteers, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm hoping that there can be a broader coalition of forces that presses the issue before the City Council, which will be returning the second Tuesday in January, which is well, it's at least 10 days away, probably more. And they still haven't agreed to do anything or open any buildings. There are a couple of churches which have agreed to be helpful on some of the nights, including the Red Church at Calvary Episcopal. and I believe the Quaker Church, and there may even be a third. So I will try to keep you informed about this. Brent Adams says if you want to contact, call 211 to find out if the warming center is open, you can do that. And I think you can also probably reach him, although I don't know that he wants his number to be given out on air. He hasn't talked to me about it. Brent has been in the past quite hostile to protest, feeling that it somehow compromises the acceptability of his, before the middle class, of the warming center project. Brent was burned in the Occupy movement and faced bogus charges because he was a reporter and a supporter of a community center at the vacant Wells Fargo Bank, still vacant, I think 7 years later, from its original time it was originally leased by Wells Fargo at 75 River Street. And he was one of four of the Santa Cruz 11 who eventually went down, not because they were guilty of anything, but because they grew exhausted from all the court proceedings, overcharges, and threats done by a former D.A. Bob Lee and current D.A. Jeff Rizal in Santa Cruz. I was one of the Santa Cruz 11 as well. I and seven others fought him to a standstill. Brent, Gabriella, Cameron, and Angel, the four who were eventually battered into taking plea bargains, had court-appointed lawyers, I believe, who were, perhaps with one exception, I think Cameron's lawyer was not a very much better attorney, but this whole prosecution extended over 4 years and I think had a really traumatic effect on Brent. And he's also a mercurial guy, a very passionate person who tends to go in different directions at different times and speaks his heart and sometimes his liver when he should probably keep his mouth shut. At least that's my view. Although I'm a big fan of the open mouth approach to things. Although denouncing fellow activists, which some may suggest is what I'm doing here, although I don't think I'm doing that. I think I'm trying to give a critical evaluation because I think a lot of the stuff that Brent has done is good. Video work, work with the Occupy movement, work trying to resolve and maintain drum circle rights. The drum circle has been driven out of the main part of downtown. I think it still has a precarious or peripheral existence on the levee. I haven't been there in years. I should probably check it out. But I guess what I will do before I leave is read a little bit from a section of Our Enemies in Blue, Police and Power in America by Christian Williams. I may read this again on Sunday because I think it's so interesting.